Okay, so the Canelo Triple G trilogy fight has now been officially announced for September 17th live on DAZN pay-per-view. Now, some people will look at this as a duck, that Canelo doesn't really fancy the Dmitry Bivol rematch right now, and he's taking on somebody who he probably views as an easier touch, an older guy, somebody who he's fought twice and at least officially has a win over. Personally, I don't have an issue with Canelo doing this. At the end of the day, this is a guy who was pushing for greatness. This is a guy who is going up through the weight divisions, whose confidence was extremely high, who hadn't yet realized where his ceiling was. He was talking about fighting the likes of Oleksandr Usyk up at cruiserweight. Now, while I think that he could beat somebody like Makabu at cruiserweight, and yes, I still believe that, it has not changed anything, the fact that Canelo lost to Bivol, because Makabu was nowhere near as fast as Bivol. He doesn't have those kind of boxing skills. And in fact, if you go back and watch my videos where I was talking about Canelo fighting Ilunga Makabu, I said in those videos that I think Makabu is an easier fight than the top light heavyweights, as in Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. Yes, I said the Makabu fight was an easier fight. So for Canelo to switch gears here, rather than fight Bivol, fight the trilogy with Triple G, as I understand it, the Triple G fight, and I don't know if this is confirmed or official, but this is what I've heard, that the Triple G fight was actually signed before he got in the ring with Bivol. So that's how confident Canelo and I guess Matchroom and DAZN were of Canelo beating Bivol, but Dmitry Bivol threw a spanner in the works, and now Canelo has an L on his record going into the Triple G trilogy fight. And will Canelo be affected in terms of confidence going into the Golovkin trilogy? As in, will he not quite be himself? Or will the fact that he lost to Bivol actually light a fire underneath him? Because I remember when Canelo lost to Floyd Mayweather, the improvement in Canelo from the Mayweather fight over his next few fights was massive. It's like that loss made him up his levels. He responded tremendously well. Some fighters, they'll get despondent and they'll go into kind of a depression in their career where after a loss, they're not quite the same. They're not quite sure of themselves. But other fighters will go into overdrive. A similar thing happened when Alexander Povetkin lost to Klitschko. He went into overdrive, although some people would argue that it was maybe substance enhanced in terms of Povetkin's run of form after the Klitschko fight. And I guess some people might argue the same thing about Canelo after he lost to Floyd Mayweather. But whatever the case may be, what do you guys think will be the case here when Canelo steps in the ring on September 17th with Triple G? Will he have a renewed sense of, how can I describe it, determination? Will he be even more fired up to do a job on Golovkin because of the fact that he lost to Bivol, to try and redeem himself? Or will he be missing a little something by way of confidence? And will that give Golovkin the opportunity to finally get an official win over Canelo Alvarez? Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Now, stylistically, Gennady Golovkin is nothing like Dmitry Bivol. He's not as fast of hand or of foot. He's not as tall. For my money, he's not as good a boxer. Golovkin can box, of course. We saw that in the second Canelo fight. And it's going to be interesting to see which tactics he chooses to employ here. Whether we see the Golovkin from the first fight, who was a pressure fighter, or whether we see the Golovkin from the second fight, who was actually moving around and boxing and using his jab. Perhaps we'll see a combination of the two. Under Jonathan Banks, he does seem to like to use his jab and box a little bit more than he did in the past. Will that be a wise idea against Canelo? Or is he better off going back to the old Golovkin and marching in and trying to do damage against Canelo Alvarez? You guys let me know what you think in the comments below. And as far as what this fight does for Canelo, obviously there's money. Obviously there's the closing of the Golovkin chapter, hopefully with a conclusive winner this time. And in terms of preparation for a potential Bivol rematch, because Canelo's talking about fighting Bivol, and he has said that this is what he wants to do, fight Golovkin, then fight Bivol later on in the year. And in terms of prep for Bivol, well, again, Golovkin isn't stylistically like Bivol, but if he can win and win convincingly, that will give him a confidence boost. And if Golovkin decides to box here and use his jab, it might offer some type of preparation stylistically for Dmitry Bivol. Again, depending on how Golovkin decides to box. So, yeah, I've got no issue with this fight. Canelo was pushing for greatness. He's dropping back down now to fight someone closer to his natural size and closer to his dimensions in Triple G, a guy who is over 40 years of age now. So I know some of you are going to pour scorn on Canelo and say that he's ducking Bivol right now and he should go straight into the Bivol rematch. I've never really been one to criticize fighters for not taking immediate rematches because I understand what it can do to the confidence of a fighter. Now, in this case, Canelo wasn't knocked out by Bivol, not even close. So I think there's more of a case for Canelo taking an immediate rematch against Bivol rather than someone who's been knocked out badly. But still, the fact that he apparently has got this Bivol rematch, regardless of if he fights him next or if he fights him after the Golovkin trilogy, it still makes sense in a way because the Golovkin fight is probably going to be worth more money or potentially worth more money. And it's a guy he's more familiar with. It's a guy who, in most people's eyes, and I'm sure in his own eyes, in his own mind, he stands a better chance against. He probably thinks this is an easier fight than the Bivol fight. So yeah, take on Golovkin, get your confidence back, get sharp again, because he hasn't fought. If you think of all the people that Canelo's fought in the past few, over the past few years, who's been on the level of a Golovkin? You could maybe say Danny Jacobs, but Jacobs didn't look particularly impressive in that fight to me. Other than that, there's nobody that's been on the level of a Triple G. So even though Triple G isn't like Bivol stylistically, just in terms of being sharp, just in terms of getting your mind where it needs to be, in terms of boxing IQ and sharpening all those things, it'll still be decent preparation for Dmitry Bivol if he decides to go ahead with the Bivol rematch. We have to see what happens in this Canelo trilogy fight, how it turns out, if Canelo takes punishment, how good he looks, if he wins, if he looks good winning. It all depends. If he doesn't, perhaps he'll stay at 168 and see out the rest of his career there. But if he destroys Golovkin, maybe he'll feel encouraged to go back up and have another crack at Dmitry Bivol. And as for Bivol, Eddie Hearn was saying prior to this official announcement that if Canelo fights Triple G next in a trilogy fight, he would love to bring Bivol to the UK to fight Joshua Buatsi. That is, as far as I'm concerned, Joshua Buatsi's first loss. I mean, I'm tempted to absolutely say you can take that to the bank, because Buatsi did show some good things against Craig Spider Richards, but he didn't show enough, in my view, to be able to beat a guy like Bivol, and he showed a lot of vulnerability there, particularly in terms of his stamina. And I was wondering when he was, you know, during the fight, and he was very inactive in certain rounds for long periods of rounds where he wasn't throwing any punches, wasn't really moving his head. And I wondered, is this a tactical thing? Because it just seemed odd to me. And Virgil Hunter, after the fight, said absolutely not. He didn't like Buatsi just standing there doing nothing. And I have to imagine that he was just mindful of his stamina, mindful of whether he could go the 12, because he's never been the 12 before. And I do think that the occasion, maybe the nerves, might have got to Buatsi a little bit, because whenever he got close to Spider Richards, he unloaded with all sorts of power shots. And then he needed a long time in the round to recover from each one of those bursts. He fought like a guy who was anxious to hurt his opponent. And to me, that's somebody who is a bit nervous when they're anxious like that to land a huge shot. So yeah, for my money, Buatsi isn't quite ready for Bivol, but hey, he's 29 years of age. Perhaps they feel like they need to get a move on anyway. If he loses to Bivol and puts up a good performance, I guess they can say he'll come again. So anyway, that's for a separate video. Let me know what you guys think about Canelo Triple G 3. Are you disappointed? Did you want to see Canelo fight Bivol next? Or are you perfectly happy with this trilogy fight? Perhaps you didn't think Canelo would lose to Bivol, and now that he has lost to Bivol, you give Triple G more of a chance in this fight. I'm not saying that's how I feel. I'm talking about some of you guys out there. You might feel that way. Let me know what you think in the comments below. What will become of poor Leonard Ellerbe? Because Gervonta Davis has doubled down and insisted that he is parting ways with Mayweather Promotions after his fight against Rolly Romero this weekend. So Davis said, "It's my career, so I feel as though I need to be the one that controls my career. It's time. Everybody don't need to have them training wheels on them forever. It's time to ride their own bike without training wheels." And says, "Yes, sir," in response to whether this will be his last fight with Mayweather Promotions. Floyd Mayweather said, "I will always love Tank. He has to do what's best for him. I feel like I've done a great job thus far building him and putting him in great fights. I'm proud of him." In response to Mayweather's remarks, Davis said, "I feel as though the feeling's mutual. There's nothing bad, or I have bad blood with Mayweather Promotions. I'm definitely appreciative of what they've done for me over the years. It's no love lost. It's just time for me to grow up and be my own man." All right, now, again, what are Mayweather Promotions going to do now? Because do they have anyone else other than Gervonta Davis? I don't think they do. If I'm forgetting someone, please remind me in the comments section below. Mr. Leonard Ellerbe has been mouthing off all over the place, but now he's about to lose his biggest client. Will Leonard Ellerbe completely disappear from social media? Because once Gervonta Davis is gone, what else is there for people to interview Leonard Ellerbe about? Other than to just get him to talk more trash about Eddie Hearn, but for what reason? He's not promoting anything, right? If he doesn't have Gervonta Davis, what shows are they really putting on? Now, this split appears to be amicable, judging by what they said there. But when two parties go their separate ways, sometimes they can put on an amicable front, whereas behind the scenes, there's actually some hostility lingering there. So I don't know whether that's the case here. I'm just putting it out there as a possibility, because if that were the case, and there is actually some tension behind the scenes, because remember, Tank Davis, as far as I'm aware, signed a very long contract with Mayweather Promotions. Was it something like 5 years? And I always say that's never a good idea for a fighter to sign that length of contract with any promoter, because so much can change in boxing. Fortunes can change and what have you. And the relationship can get strained between fighter and pro. So 5 years is too long. And several years ago, of course, Davis was hoping to get out of his contract, but he couldn't. And as you can see, in terms of what he said here, he wants to have more control over his career. He doesn't want to be coddled. He doesn't want to be told what to do and who he's fighting and, you know, what have you. So, yeah, in terms of the potential for there to be tension behind the scenes, could that manifest in Davis not getting preferential treatment by way of the officials, the judges and the referee in this Rolly Romero fight? Now, most people are going to say he doesn't need preferential treatment in this fight against Rolly Romero because he's good enough to beat him easy no matter what the judges and the ref are doing or who they're favoring. But it's just something that I've got in the back of my mind. Just in case Davis struggles with Romero or the fight doesn't go quite according to plan, will he have any privileges withdrawn by way of favoritism with the officials? Again, just something to consider. Now, in terms of where Gervonta Davis is going to go, he's 27 years of age. And I was talking to somebody in my Element group the other day, and we were discussing the fact that Gervonta Davis, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, these guys, well, in the case of Davis, is 27 years of age, Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, they are a lot younger, but all of them still look like almost teenagers. None of them look like fully fledged men. I know that Tank Davis obviously has got tremendous punch and power and he's very physically strong, but they all look boyish still. It's strange. It's like this era, the younger fighters in this era don't look as manly as fighters of old, you know, of the previous eras by the same age. Weird. Anyway, where would Tank Davis go from here? Well, his options, of course, would be to sign with PBC. He's already an Al Haymon fighter anyway, so I guess he could sign a deal with PBC, perhaps have his own promotional company like the Charlos, have their own promotional company with PBC. That's one option. The other option would be to sign with DAZN. They've got Ryan Garcia on DAZN, of course. He's with Golden Boy. He could also sign with Top Rank. Top Rank have currently got Devin Haney, although Devin Haney, depending on how the Kambosos fight goes, could potentially go back to DAZN afterwards. And then, of course, Kambosos is with Lou DiBella, but I believe he has some kind of deal with ESPN. So those are Tank Davis's options, different fighters that he could face, depending on which direction he chooses to go in. Where do you guys think he should go? Perhaps he's going to try and sign, you know, short deals, 2-3 fight deals, the way that Canelo Alvarez does. Maybe that's what he's talking about with regards to being more in control of his career. Having, you know, short contracts where he signs for particular fights with one company and then he switches gears and goes to sign with another company, for a different fight. I think that that would be a good idea, but does Gervonta Davis have enough clout in the game to be able to do that? Because a lot of fighters want to do that, but they don't really have the star power yet in terms of ticket sales and pay-per-views and viewing figures and so on. Generally, you know, other than maybe DAZN, most broadcasters and promoters want to sign a fighter on a multi-fight deal. And there are some exceptions. Of course, you got Devin Haney signing with Top Rank just to get the Kambosos fight, although Kambosos is not with Top Rank. And I believe that's a short deal. But to my knowledge, Haney has really signed himself away as the B-side in that fight, like in a major way, contractually, as far as I'm aware. Would Gervonta Davis be willing to do that? Because he's used to be in the A-side under Mayweather Promotions. Would he be willing to go in there as the B-side just so he could get a short contract? Or, as I say, would he, or does he rather, have the kind of star power that would allow him to go in there and just sign a short contract as the A-side, the way Canelo does with his contracts? Anyway, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Lots of points to discuss here.